You guys are what? Thanks, Jim. Maybe I'll have to get one. Thank you. Okay, we're in Sefer Mesillas Yesharim, in Perek Gimel, and we're in the section where the Mesillas Yesharim, who does not waste any words, is saying again and again in as many ways that he can that you must do a cheshbon nefesh. It's so ironic that he's the one who is so careful about his words. It must be that he realizes that if he doesn't mention this repeatedly, we won't take it seriously. So he finds it necessary to say it again in as many ways as he can. I'm going back two lines from yesterday. I see it essential that a man calculates his ways on a daily basis, just like the merchants who are always weighing up their business to ensure that it won't get wasted. And as well as doing it on a daily basis, you must also set aside specific times and hours to be doing it. Meaning maybe when you're about to go to some big new event in your life, and there's all things that may be happening there that you want to calculate beforehand to ensure that they're going to be acting appropriately, and then you're going to be acting appropriately. That could be itim, because itim usually refers to like unique occasions, unique times. So itim and shaot. Shelo yeh mishkalo arai ela bekviyot gadol. That it won't be that when you weigh yourself up, when you calculate your inner world, it's not in an arbitrary manner. It's not in a random manner. Rather, it should be bekviyot gadol. I mean, kviyot just means consistently, but it doesn't mean that you invest a lot each time. It could be a minute a day. Kviyot gadol means that it's on a constant basis and you're investing a lot of time in it. Ki rava toradahu is a tremendous benefit. How can you let it go to waste? And Chazal told us explicitly this obligation in Baba Basra, daf ayin ches amud beis. Al kein yomru hamoshlim bo cheshbon. The Pasuk in Bamidbar says, literally, the ones who were conquerors said, let us go to a place called Cheshbon. But the Gemara darshens it in the following way. Al kein yomru hamoshlim biyitzram, not moshlim physically, but rather moshel on the Yetzahara. So said the ones who have control over the Yetzahara. This is the advice. Bo, let us come, v'nachshov, and calculate Cheshbono shel olam. The calculation of the world. This is the most important calculation of the world. You would say, what's the calculation of the world? You would say, I don't know, world peace, something big. Calculation of the whole world. But according to Chazal, calculation of the world is your inner world. That's the whole world. That's what the world is made up of. Let's do that calculation. And how do you do that calculation? Hefzed mitzvah keneged schara, uschara veira neged hefzed. Where you work out, and you do this in a cheshbon nefesh. We actually did this in a group with Shana Betz in Elo. But there's a way of doing it. But you work out what is the loss that you have in a mitzvah parallel to the schar, and what is the schar avera parallel to the loss. And there's different ways of understanding what this means in Chazal when they say this phrase. But one way of understanding it is whenever you do a mitzvah, whenever you miss out on a mitzvah, right? So then you might say, what did I miss out on? It doesn't mean that you've calculated and you've recognized what the value of that mitzvah actually is. So rather, you should learn what the value of mitzvahs are in order to recognize that what you're losing out on is tremendous. And you should know that if it's harder for you to do the mitzvah, and that's why you have a need to miss out on it, then the schar will be even greater. So heitzad mitzvah is keneged schara. By the fact that it's harder for you to, and you don't want to do it, the schar will be much greater. And also the opposite. Schar avera keneged hefseda. If it's hard for you to say no to the avera, but you do manage to, imagine how great the reward will be, because you were able to say no. There's different ways of interpreting this piece. And if you have time and you wish to do a thara cheshbon nefesh, when you sit down and you take a particular thing that you do, that's a challenge for you. And you work out, what do I gain by doing this avera? And when you write it on paper, it's not usually as exciting and as big as it is when you actually do the avera. You're like, work it out, what it is. And you say, and what do I potentially lose out by doing this avera? And when you think about it, there's a lot to lose out. Never mind spiritually. Even in this world, it's embarrassing. It lowers my own view of myself. It's not in line with the vision of who I'm trying to build. I often have to lie if I do it. One lie leads to another lie. have to make up stories. I waste time from doing things that are more valuable. It's harder for me to learn Torah afterwards because my mind is like in a different place. It's much harder for me to daven afterwards because I think of myself as someone who does that. And what did you gain? Very fleeting momentary joy, which actually even midway wasn't even enjoyable anymore. So was it worth it? Now, at the moment when the avera presents itself, the mind is hijacked and a person doesn't do the calculation of the hefsed mitzvah keneged tzchara. But when you sit down with a pen and paper and you say, this is something I'm challenged with, and you write it out. What do I gain from it and what do I lose from it? You just write out very simply. What do I gain, what I lose? And you look at the paper, you say, this is ridiculous. Why am I doing this? What value is there for me to do this avera? It looks silly. You think of yourself as a fool for doing it. And when you've done that process, you have much more power. That the next time that avera presents itself, you have an anchor to say, no, this is not appropriate. Ah, but you want to do it. I know, but when I thought it through and I wasn't tempted, it seemed ridiculous to me. So I don't remember everything I wrote now on that paper, because now the desire is again hijacking my mind. So I can't think straight. But I know that when I was thinking straight and I wrote down on a piece of paper, this particular avera, what's the gain that I have from it and what's all the loss that I have from it, it didn't seem logical that I should do it. So even if right now I can't think of all those reasons, but I know I wrote that when I was thinking straight on a piece of paper. And that's often enough to be an anchor. The fact that you know you wrote down in your Cheshbon Nefesh book that it's not worth doing, and you thought it through, you did the Cheshbon Hefsed Neged Tzchara, even when your mind is hijacked, and you're not thinking straight, you're able to... it happened to me once when they changed the system in Israel, and then about nine years ago, and they made cell phones the same price as landlines. Until then, cell phones were very, very expensive to like have the account, and landlines were very cheap, so everyone had both. And then the government passed a law, and the prices of cell phone calls became much cheaper. And then I was paying both to have an account on my cell phone and to have an account on my landline. It didn't really make sense. So the landline people were like lowering their price. But I realized like I wasn't even using it as much. Because now I just got the number that I was giving out to everyone was my cell phone. I wasn't giving out two different numbers, and that was much more accessible, and I wasn't using it. So every time like I would phone them to say I want to cancel the line, then they would like tell me lots of reasons why it's a good idea for me to keep it going. And at the time, the things they were saying made sense. I would say, okay, I'll keep it on for another month. And I did that for about 3 times. And then I did this cheshbon aveira neged tzchara, you know, in a different kind of way. And I worked out, it does not make sense for me to keep this landline. It doesn't make sense. It's wasting money. I'm not using it. And then they phoned. And I said, I phoned them. I said, I want to cancel the line. And they started giving me very, very plausible, logical, good reasons as to why. But I knew all those reasons and I'd written them out already and it still didn't make sense. So then they were talking and talking and talking and talking. And I was getting confused and I got mixed up. And then I said, no, I don't want to keep it. And I go, no, but did you know that? I understand that you wouldn't want to keep it because you thought such and such and such. But did you know about this point? Oh, I don't think I knew about that point. Oh my gosh, I didn't take that into account. I have to do a whole thing. And they're, oh no, so just keep it going. And I said, no, wait. I don't know why I'm saying this, but stop it. Are you sure? I'm sure. And then when I finished the conversation, I went back to my page. And I said, yeah, that new point I knew already. It was in my page. I had thought it through. But you're hijacked at the time. You can't think straight. But when you know you've written it out and it makes sense to you, then you have the strength. So anytime you find you have a challenge, which kind of repeats itself, and you're not sure why you're still doing that challenge, do this, have said, avera keneged tzchara. What do I lose by doing it? Woo! What do I gain by doing it? It's almost embarrassing to write. Okay, I'll just do like a question mark. It's embarrassing to write what I'm actually gaining from doing that avera. And then you say, okay, so this doesn't make sense. It's not logical. And then you hold on to that. You don't have to have the paper with you, just the fact that you know the paper exists. Kein achomri osva gashmes olam hazeh. Hinehu choshech alayla le'en ha-sechel. Ha-gorem lo shtei toyot. So too... Sorry, I missed a bit. I'm going back. I skipped a page. Sorry. Ze veze ki ha'etza amitit azot lo yuchlo letet otal velo lirot amiteta elo otam shekvar yatzu mitachad yad yitzram u'mashlubo. Now this advice that the rabbis gave us in the Gemara in Baba Basra daf ayin ches to do a cheshbon nefesh can only be given by someone who is already outside of the Yetzirah. They've conquered the Yetzirah. They know the method of how to conquer the Yetzirah. And now they're looking back and giving advice to those who are still caught up, still hijacked by the Yetzirah's rambling on. Ki mishu adayin chavush b'ma'asar Yetzirah. someone who's still trapped with the Yetzer Hara, ein einav ro'ot ha'emet azot. They're not able to see the truth of how valuable it is. Because the Yetzer Hara is tricking them into not doing this. One of the main goals, objectives of the Yetzer Hara is for you not to be thinking. Like we spoke about with Paro. Because once he's got that, he's got everything. So the Yetzer Hara puts out most of his energies into you not doing a cheshbon nefesh. That you won't think it through, and then he can get you to push you along with everything else that he wants to do. So only someone who's already doing a cheshbon nefesh and sees the value in it and has accomplished control over the Yetzer Hara, for any yochol akira, someone else wouldn't be able to recognize it. Ki ha-yetzer mesameh et einav mamash. In Kabbalistic sources, they refer to the Yetzer Hara as Sema'el, which is from the language of angel who blinds. Ki yetzer mesameh et einav mamash. The Yetzer Hara blinds the eyes. And here he's not talking about the physical eyes, he's talking about the eyes of the seichel, the inner eyes, the eyes that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with, and we see our own inner world with. It's like someone who's walking along in dark and there's these stumbling blocks in front of him. He doesn't see them. And so doesn't see the stumbling blocks, falls. And a person who's not doing a cheshbon nefesh, and the Yetzer Hara sends him traps and challenges, he falls. And that's what Chazal says in Bava Metzia, Pei Gimel, Amud Beis, Toshet Choshech, Vehi Laila. Zeh Olam Hazeh, Shedomeh Laila. And you must understand how amazing the statement of Chazal is if you contemplate it. Because the darkness of the night, and there's two different levels of darkness, and two different mistakes that people can make. One mistake is, Yechaseh Ta'ayin, Ad Shelo Yireh Ma Shelafanav Klal. It's pitch black, you don't see anything. Or Yateoto, Ad Sheyireh Lo Amud Ki'ilu Adam V'Adam Ki'ilu Amud. Or, where there's, it's not pitch black, it's very dark to the point where you can't identify anything what it is, but you can vaguely make out figures. And you see something over there. Is that a person or is that a bush? Is that a person or is that a pillar? What is that exactly over there? And you do see things, but you're not able to interpret clearly what they are. That's the two ways that darkness can affect man. So too, when a person gets blinded by this world, and he's so wrapped up and absorbed in Gashmius, in the physicality of this world, that his mind is chasing after the physicality, that he's in the darkness of night, Le'ena sechel, it blinds his inner eyes. For gorem lo shtei toyot, and it causes him to have two mistakes that he can make. Number one, eino maniach lo shiyirei amichsholot shebedarkei haolam, v'nimtzaim apitaim, v'olchim levetach, v'noflim v'ovedim mebli shehigiyam pachad tchila. The first mistake is there are areas that a person is not even aware that it's an issur. Just think of a very, very simple example. In a ben adam lachavero area. There are certain phrases that if a person says is insensitive to someone else, and the other person takes great offense. Only a person who's done a cheshbon nefesh and thought, how would the other person interpret that phrase? How would the other person interpret that concept? Is it inappropriate to say in this case or another case? Only a person who's done such a cheshbon nefesh will be aware that that might be very offensive to someone else. If a person hasn't done a cheshbon nefesh, this is what I want to say. I want to say it. And they'll say it, and the other person will be offended, and they'll have no idea. They wouldn't even see it coming. And the other person might take great offense to it, and they'll be like, what are you making such a fuss about? Well, you're so sensitive. You're hypersensitive. What's the big deal? Right? But it's because they didn't do a cheshbon nefesh. And they didn't come aware. That's an inappropriate phrase for that person. That could cause a sensitivity that one has to be aware of. So that's the first issue. Where the Yetzer Hara stops us from doing a cheshbon nefesh, we don't contemplate our ways, and we're not even aware there's an issue here at all. We don't even have any concept that there's a problem. And therefore we say things that are inappropriate. I once was in a certain function, and there was a man who was the manche, the one who was calling up different people to speak.
MC.
Thank you, MC. In Hebrew it's a manche, and I always get confused when I see it, because it says mincha. The same letters as Mincha. So it says Mincha, David, someone. It's like, oh, he's davening Mincha, he's the Sheher. No, he's the Mancha, he's the MC. So anyway, so someone got up to speak and they spoke. It was an elderly woman and she spoke like Holocaust. And it was very meaningful what she said. And then she sat down. And then the MC like called someone else. And then the next person spoke. And then that woman, the older woman, she went back to him and she says, there's one more point I wanted to add. Could I speak again? So he got up and he said, such and such an old woman, she asked to speak again. But I think she spoke long enough the first time, so we're going to move on to the next speaker, and he just called the next person. She burst out crying and ran out the room. And he didn't notice. He didn't. Till this day, I don't think he ever knew that that was an issue. I'm sure that she never spoke to him again. I mean, they weren't like close people to begin with, you know? I mean, they weren't, you know, they weren't family members or anything. It was just like a function. I'm sure there was no way she would ever like reach out to that person as an individual again after saying such a thing. And to this day, I think he has no clue of the sensitivity issue that was there. So it could be that if a person doesn't do a cheshbon nefesh and isn't sensitive to other people, a person could totally, totally miss a huge avera of offending an older woman deeply. You know, I know this is a relevant point, but like after all she went through, you know, like she was just telling a Holocaust story, and then he said, like, we heard enough of her. Thank you very much. We'll move on to the next person. It was highly offensive. It could be he totally missed it. That's ben adam lamakom lechaveru, and also ben adam lamakom. There could be areas in halacha that a person is not sensitive to. He hasn't gone through his day and checked. Have I checked that I'm doing everything that I know to be the halacha appropriately? And he totally misses, and he doesn't think about it. And there could be an area which, if he would think of his day properly, he would realize, one second, you know, I don't think I know the halachas of that area well enough. Let me double check. And then he'll double check, and he sees he's doing something wrong. Like, let's say, for example, he doesn't know how to cut chicken on Shabbos, and he may be transgressing Boro. And at one point, he thought maybe it's an issue, and they thought, I don't think it's an issue. But he never researched it. It can't be. What? God cares this way or that way? What are people make such a fuss? They're getting pedantic about it all. I'm not even going to look into it. Now, this is a person who considers himself to be a Yirat Shamayim Jew. He just doesn't think there's an issue there. So he doesn't look into it. And he carries on for years and years and years and years and years, not thinking there's any issue whatsoever. If he would do a cheshbon nefesh, he would say, you know, I realize I don't know all the halachos of Hashavas very well. That's what would come out in his cheshbon nefesh. And you know, when I said that line of, I'm sure it's not a problem, I said that without checking the facts. Someone who's doing a cheshbon nefesh would identify that. They would identify that their justification was not grounded. And then they would say, you know, I don't think it's fair that I just allow myself to continue cutting chicken this way or that way before I check the halacha. I think what I'm doing is okay, but I'm actually not sure. So that person with doing a cheshbon nefesh will say, I said something, it wasn't grounded, I'm not sure that it's true, I'm going to research it. Or at least ask a rabbi, just to check in. You know, maybe I won't do a whole sugya learning, I don't have enough time for it now, but I'll at least say, I do it this way, is this okay? I don't have to understand all the principles behind it, but at least check what I'm doing is okay. So that's an example of ben adam lamakom. The Yetzer Hara could blind the person, don't do a cheshbon nefesh, he's got his justification, he feels he's okay with what he's doing, he doesn't research it, and years he transgresses Hilchos Shabbos Doraisa without even being aware of it. Nimtzaim petaim, and you have fools, holchim levetach, who continue their way with assurance, with a surety around them, v'noflim v'ovdim, and they're falling, they're not even aware, they weren't even nervous about it. Whether it's in bin adam l'makom, bin adam l'chavero, they're transgressing. If they would have noticed, and they don't do, and they're okay, and they're happy with themselves, content in their world. For huma shomer katuv in Mishlei Perek Dalet, derech rishaim ka'afela, the way of the wicked is darkness. Lo yadu b'meikasha, they have no idea what they're falling in, and why are they wicked? Because they did not do a cheshbon nefesh, and they're not aware that it's inappropriate. That's why they're falling. Because if they would be sensitive to it, they would be able to stop it. You know, you're not held accountable for something that you didn't know if you are learning in general. And you just haven't got to that yet. If you're learning Hilchos Shabbos, and you haven't got to a certain topic yet, but you are learning in general. And then when you get to it, you say, I never knew that. From today, I'm going to take it on. You're not held accountable in any way for the fact that you didn't keep it until now, and that you transgressed until now. Because you're absolutely honest. You didn't know that it existed, and the proof is that the moment you learned it, you took it on. That shows that if you would have learned it earlier, you would have done it. You're not held accountable at all. However, if a person doesn't learn halacha, he's not learning halacha, so he's essentially saying, I think I know everything already. That's why I'm not learning it. And therefore he's saying, whatever I do is okay. And he's justifying what he's doing. And if he doesn't know something and he transgresses, he's held accountable. Oh, I didn't know. Yeah, but you weren't honest. Because you could have learned it. Now, obviously, if a person's learning one area of halacha, then he's not held accountable for another area of halacha, so long as his plan is, when I finish this area, I'm going to do the next area. You know? You can't learn everything all at once. But your plan is that you learn. Another example of what I just said would be, if a person's learning halacha, and he gets to a particular halacha, and he doesn't take it up. He doesn't keep it. So then he's also held accountable for all the times until now that he didn't do it. Because he also, like, he can't claim onus. Right? You learned about it, you didn't do it. So you don't care about it. So the times that you didn't know, you also wouldn't have done it. So the only way that a person can get out of punishment from all the things that he's currently doing that he's not aware of is by constantly learning halacha and taking on in practice everything that you learn. And even if you're learning at a very slow pace, as long as that's your natural pace that you're learning at, that's fine. Because you're showing that this is important to me. I'm taking it on as I go along. Otherwise, derech rasha'im ka'afeda lo yadu ma'i kashelu. Arum ra'a v'nistar u'pata'im avru v'neshanu. Cunning people, they identify there's something bad ahead. They're looking ahead. They pay attention. They're doing a cheshbon nefesh. And they protect themselves. And the fools, they go past and they get punished. They just keep going. They're not paying attention. Third pasuk, ukasil mitaber v'boteach. He's sure of himself. He doesn't think he's going to fall. And he falls. Ki libam bari lahem ku'ulam. They're absolutely sure of themselves. V'noflim terem yadu mi'amich shokla. And they fall even before becoming aware there was even an issue here to begin with. So the darkness can lead a person to two mistakes. Mistake number one is that a person has no idea there's an aver there to begin with. That's issue number one. Issue number two is even more severe than issue number one. And that one, Be'ez Hashem, we'll see tomorrow. Shukr.